Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Brad Herta, welcome back to Blue Collar BS. How you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle, my favorite friend in Detroit, Michigan.
Great, you know,
hat.
What?
Great hat, by the way. Nah.
You like that? Let's go blue. That's right. All day.
Nope.
All day. Nope. You know, and
so today you should be the big. So obviously this show is going to come up later in the year, but
you know, it is.
You should be the biggest Wisconsin fan of all time this weekend.
I am huge.
As we're going to Ohio State this weekend to, I don't know what.
You know, win. That's all we care about. Wisconsin winning right now.
That is.
That's for sure.
Hopeful.
Not expected. Hey, any given Saturday, it's anybody's game. Anybody's game.
That's what college football is all about. Ask Appalachian State.
All right. Fine.
So this isn't a college football show, right? So
right.
Let's introduce our guest, Mr. Christopher Zuzek, who has been in the metal industries for a very, very long time. He and I happen to have kids in the same area. We've grown up. We live in the same community. We've connected through different events. And ironically, we met and reconnected at a Brewer game that I was, you know, working at. And he was in one of the suites. And we started chatting and having a conversation. Hey, Christopher, why don't you come on the show and share your experiences of what's happening in the metal industry with the generational things? And he said,
we used to bowl together, too.
Yeah, I forgot about the bowling. Yes, I forgot about the couples bowling league. Yes.
Wow. If you call it that. I'm not really sure what it was, but it was bowling. So.
It was that. So welcome, Christopher Zuzek, to Blue Collar BS. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, welcome.
Glad to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So first question before we get into our show is, which generation do you most fit in with? Because we got Boomer Brad. We have Boomer Brad punching buttons before the show. Yeah. Messing up audio.
Yeah. Well,
whatever, millennial Steve.
So 65. So I'm not really a boomer. I'm a Gen X, right?
You are the first year. You are the inaugural.
I am the first year. So not a tweener, but I'm right there. So I'm a Gen X guy. That is me. That is me.
Awesome.
You are at the starting line.
Very cool.
You are at the starting line of making sure those member only's jackets were the best things ever.
I'm a kid of the 80s, right? That's kind of how that works. That was the greatest decade of all time, if I recall. So
right. And you had your members only jacket, didn't you?
MTV, members only jacket, parachute pants, you know.
Absolutely.
All that good stuff.
You're out on the dance floor kicking it, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, you got that now, right. If only had smartphones back in the 80s, right?
No.
That would be bad. Totally bad.
For sure. Then your kids would have all that scoop on you.
Yeah, they would. They could go back in time, and that would not be good. That would not
correct.
Be
good. So what's happening in the metals manufacturing space from industry recruiting, you know, retention, employment, you know, as you sit there in your chair today, kind of overseeing all that, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, I think it's well documented that there has been challenges and there has to be a different paradigm with regards to workforce development. You know, I look at companies today and they talk about the challenges of wages, for example, you know, knowing that they have to be aggressive with their wages, you know, 6, 7, 8%. I always, and this is not by any means a secret sauce, but I question those companies when they say, you know, we have to raise wages by 6, 7%. Are they also looking at their training budgets and saying, what are we going to do for training? What are we going to do for increases in training? I mean, I think that's if there's one thing, well, there's probably a lot of things I learned from coaching youth sports, youth soccer, but you cannot, you can't have a one size fits all approach for your workforce. And I sense sometimes that's what's missing. It's, it's not a silver bullet, but you know, if you're going to be an aggressive company in wages, you better be an aggressive company with regards to your training and how much money you're going to spend on training. Because if you don't do that, then you're just throwing away money as far as I'm concerned. And I think that part of the thing I've seen is you talk to people who are coming into the workforce, and it doesn't make a difference to me if you are a boomer, if you're a millennial, Gen X, whatever. You need to understand as an employer what value you're going to bring to that employee so they can be sustainable in the workforce. And that is, it's more than just the W-2.
Right. That is very refreshing to hear you say that, because that has always, that's hard to find in leadership, that mantra. Because we hear in the, you know, some of the events that I go to, well, why would we train all these people? Why would we invest in all this training when they're just going to leave anyhow? What if you don't invest in all the training? What's wrong with making the pool deeper and stronger as an entity and being the organization that gave somebody that shot? And maybe they go off and try something different because the organization wasn't ready for them to grow. But a lot of times they end up finding their way back because they have that loyalty or that sense of purpose or that connection. And you lose out on that opportunity for them to, right? You train them young, they go out, they find their opportunity, and then they come back later because they realize what, you know, the grass isn't always greener, it's just different grass.
Well, in manufacturing, as we all know, there's a lot of capital put into your business, right? In our world, as a contract metal manufacturer, we have stamping presses, we have assembly machines, and we have regular maintenance on those on that equipment because it's high cost.
So we
need to take the same approach in our businesses as we do. And I don't want to equate a press to a person. I'm not suggesting that from an asset perspective. But what I'm saying is that we invest preventive maintenance and capital in our equipment. We need to be doing the same thing with our workforce. Those are just those teammates of ours as assets, if you want to use that term, are just as critical as that press. And we know the cost of downtime.
Well, will your presses run without people?
No.
Right. So you could argue the people are even more valuable than the press because you can't run the press without the people.
Correct. So if you don't take, hiring and soliciting people to join your team, regardless of their function, is more than just, hey, here's your salary. What are we doing to take them to the next level? And again, it goes back to what I was saying before when I was coaching youth sports. I coached high school soccer, and I learned very early that it's important to explain to the team the overall goal, the values, but you can't take a blanket approach to every player on the team. And your job as a coach or your job as a leader is to take a look at that roster of 22, 23 players in your team and really understand what drives each of that each person. And how do I get the best out of that person? And what do I see in this player, where they are today, where they could be, and help them get there?
Right.
And each player is different and very similar to the Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, boomers, is that you have freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors, right? So you have a freshman, right? You got a freshman who is raring to go and thinks they should be at this level, right? Because they're on varsity, but they don't know where they don't know yet. So my job is to say, it's to harness that talent and say, I understand where you want to go. I'm going to help you get there. And then find that tool to get there versus the senior who is matured, is thinking about the team, is thinking about their next chapter in school. And it maybe doesn't include youth sports or sports. Maybe they they look back and say, this is my last hurrah as right. a teammate. And their mentality is a little bit different. Well, that's not any different than what we're doing today with the workforce. You know, someone out of school that's ready to, you know, a millennial that wants to go at it versus a baby boomer that's saying, I have a lot of value in my background. I just want to be appreciated. And so my job as a leader, or I think any leader, as far as I'm concerned, is to understand those facets and say, here's how they get the best out of the millennial. Here's the best. This is what I need to do to get the best of a baby boomer. It's not any different. At least that's the way I look at it.
Expand on that a little bit more and give us a little more breadth of what you're actually experiencing with the millennials versus maybe, or even your Gen Zs, your millennials, versus like the Gen X and the boomers, like some examples for our listeners.
I think the people that I've hired over the last several years have fallen into that category, millennials and then the Gen X and Gen Z, not much on the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. So the millennials come in and what they're looking for is a path toward success.
Okay.
And going back to what Brad said before, I don't expect a millennial or any employee to spend 20 years. I just don't expect that to happen. I mean, my first job, I was
there for 12
years. Yeah, my first job, I was there for 12 years and I was considered, you know, a long-termer. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing you have to recognize is that they're not going to be here forever. That, you know, there's no such thing as a pension anymore. So my job is as that leader to say, okay, you're coming to the organization. Here's where I think you can go, and show them the path of success. Show them how we're going to invest in them to elevate their game. Show them that we're going to take the time to make them a better employee for our organization, and in the long term, a better employee for another organization. But if we come in and don't have it's more than onboarding, guys. It's here's the onboarding, but then it's here's stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four, and here's your path. I can give them 20% higher in salary. It doesn't make a difference. They're going to go on someplace else.
Right.
So
you
have to make that investment.
That is awesome that you say that, because that is one of the big things that I know I preach and Steve preaches is what's the path forward. Because if you don't know, you're not going to get an 18, 19-year-old kid to come in an apprentice program and tell them in 25 years you can be a master tool and die maker.
Right.
Just not going to happen. What's the 3 to 5 year plan? And as I've been doing some multi-generational speaking as of late, you know, the Gen Z, I was very surprised. I found this report, and Gen Z wants 80% of the Gen Zs in the workforce have at least a 1 year plan, and 25% have a 5 year plan.
Right.
So those kids 25 years and younger know where they want to go and what they want to do. As an employer, particularly in a blue collar world, being able to show them that path to achieve their goals and make that connection is priceless, because that's what they're looking for. And the ones that give them that, that's who they're going to go work for. And they're going to be really, really loyal to.
I mean, I have four kids. I have two sons. One is 31, one is 24. And, you know, they're both motivated, but the 31-year-old is like, hey, you know, here's where I got to go, right? And here's where I want to be. I want to be an organization that gives me those tools to be there. The 24-year-old is saying, you know, I'm kind of in the right industry, but maybe I can divert here, I can divert there. And so having those conversations with them, with the boys, with regards to their career path, is you get two different paths. I mean, and so as an employer or as a team leader, again, going back to my previous point, is you got to find the time to figure out how do I get what's be empathetic, right? You got to be able yep. to say, here's where we're going to go. And I view myself as more of I'm not a command and control type leader. I'm more of that, you know, the leader that is more, let's figure out what's best for the business And there's a term for that. It's escaping me right now what that title, that leadership
servant
is.
Servant leadership. Leadership.
Yeah. And so, but I'm also big on an EOS process, which is get it, want it, and have the GWCs, right? I mean, that's the other thing I think we look at, I look at with my teammates, the guys that, people that report to me, obviously we measure them on our core values, but I also sit down.
Which and are them. On the spot, what are they?
How much time do you have?
I mean, you know, should be those only three or four core values.
Basically well-being, safety, product-oriented, you know, and that was, I'll tell you what, that core value process is critical, especially when you start measuring people. But safety, safety, wellness, respect, integrity, sense of urgency, those are the main ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for sharing those. Yeah, I always like putting people on the spot because you should, as a leader, you should know them.
Absolutely. And then, so we measure our teammates on that. And then I measure them on, do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity? Do we want to invest in them? And are they in the right seat on the bus, right? And yep. So each person, regardless if they're millennial or Gen X, I go through that process with them. And again, it goes back to what I said before. You can't take a blanket approach to developing your team. You can't take a blanket approach to building your team. You have to be a little bit nimble, right? And so when I look at people, I say, do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity? If they have the capacity, they want to take it to the next level, then we should be finding ways to do that. And shame on us if we don't.
Correct.
Right. How are you seeing the different people that come in? How are you seeing the disparity, or the difference, not disparity, but the difference in how they define their path of success?
To find their path to success. I think in some cases they don't know their path to success yet.
Right.
And I think part of the process, I mean, we have some employees that come in and, you know, honestly, they're just looking for a stable job.
Come in, do my job, get paid, go home.
Right. And when you look at them, you say, okay, well, they get it. They want it and they have the capacity. You know, are they at the lid? Are they going to go any further? Probably not. That's cool. Put them in that bucket. But I have seen situations where we've brought in people and it's failed. And I think part of the issue it's failed there is because in their mindset, they're just thinking a salary dollar. They're making 18 yeah. bucks an hour, right?
Yep.
And honestly, if you want to go work at $18 and work in a stamping facility, that's a lot different than making $19 working at Quick Trip. No offense to working at Quick Trip. It's just a different mentality, right?
Yep.
Quick Trip, right here.
Yeah. So
they don't sponsor the show yet, but maybe someday.
But you know, that's where I think we as leaders need to say, listen, this is where this job is going to go, and help them define that. And again, if their definition of success or their path is 6 to 3 and I can be home and do whatever they want to do on the sides, great, that fits. Maybe that's a perfect situation. We understand expectations. I had a friend of mine came to me and said that he was hiring a position. It was a technical position. And a 24-year-old came in and he goes, I want to join your company, but I can only start at 9 o'clock in the morning and I have to leave at 3 o'clock every day, no overtime. And so I can't deviate from that. And my friend said, well, we got to figure out how to make that work. I think that's a different approach versus, sorry, that you don't fit in the box, so therefore see you later. Right.
Right. Yes. That is, did he hire him?
He did. He did.
Awesome.
And
that is fantastic.
Yeah. And I give him a lot of credit because the culture of that company is, if you're not at your work center at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be successful. And again, here's a perfect example of us, of a leader saying, I don't think this is makes difference if this person is 24 or 35. This is their core issue. Their core issue is I have family. We need to be flexible. How do we become flexible? We have to be nimble and find some ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And did COVID and all that, did that help like your organization reevaluate what flexibility and work-life balance and those things mean, even though you were probably deemed, necessary workforce, didn't have a lot of the mandatory shutdown activity potentially, but were you able to leverage that opportunity to improve the working conditions or the environment or the morale moving forward?
I think what COVID did for us, it helped emphasize the importance of communication. And communication, not necessarily in the form of being in the room together or talking, but in the form of letting people know what was going on and utilizing video collaboration to keep everybody in the loop of what was happening, because we were deemed essential. And, honestly, having an operation in Mexico created additional challenges during COVID because on how government handled COVID down there versus how we handled it in the United States and how our customers expected as essential to take care of them. And there were several things that came from COVID, I think improved. One was, again, the communication, but finding other ways to communicate and keep our teammates aware of what was going on. And at the same time, our customers happy.
Did the communication process also elevate the communication of expectations as you went through that process, not just information, but expectations as well?
I think it also not only improved expectations, but it provided additional clarity to our employees about what were some of the challenges we were dealing with. And it provided them better understanding of how, I wouldn't say the inner workings of our business. I don't think that's entirely accurate, but it definitely provided a lot more clarity on what was going on a day-to-day basis that sometimes was deemed out of mind, out of sight, right? And I think whether it's a company dealing with, the financing from the government or, testing or, how are we going to deal with Mexico when the government comes out and shuts them down and says, you're not going to work? So it provided a lot more clarity, I think, to everybody. And again, I go back to the core values of our health and safety, right? I mean, I think people, no one took advantage of our situation of COVID, where I think some other companies did. And we said, here's what we needed to keep your health and safe, healthy and safe. If you don't feel healthy, you don't feel safe, don't come to work. And we'll help you through it.
So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to the younger generations looking to hire into the blue collar space?
That's a fantastic question. And
here on Blue Collar BS. We're more like a journalistic type show, right? Hard hitting 60 minutes type program.
I was going to compare it to 60 minutes.
Well, Brad's questions are soft.
Sunday evening after football, next on 60 minutes.
Followed by before Big Brother, right?
Yeah, and then Agatha Christie, Murder She Wrote, if I recall growing up.
We'll get dubbed. We'll put on the Wizard of Oz.
I digress. I think what we've learned, what my advice to anyone coming into the workforce is challenge that person on the other side. It's a very cliche type question, but where can I be in 5 years? Not where do you want to be in 5 years? Where can I be in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And
I like that a lot.
And I think that's the onus that we as leaders need to think about. And again, I go back to the coaching days. It's, you know, why do you want to be on this team for? And I want to better myself. I want to get a scholarship. I want to, you know, I'm excited about being on this team, whatever that might be. And then say, okay, let's build upon that. Let's build around that and find a way to get you where you want to go. It's your choice. You know, I said this before, but a teammate, if I think they can be here and I want to help them get there, it's up to them to do it, right?
Right.
You got to have that earn my stripes mentality, but at the same time, I think you have to challenge the person on the other side is, how do I get there? And I mean, we've all heard stories about, you know, they expect the high wages and stuff like that. Well, again, I think there are some of those situations out there with employees. But I think if you took 100 of them and said, what's most important to you, 95 would say, listen, I just want to know how I can improve what I'm doing today and help them elevate their game. And that's what we need to do as leaders.
Correct. So if there are individuals that are listening to this show locally or even anywhere across the country or Mexico or wherever they might be, because we are a worldwide show, how would they get a hold of you to find the opportunity or to create a connection or just to potentially look for an opportunity to connect and maybe get some of that awesome leadership you're offering?
So I'm big on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn. There's not a lot of Chris Zuzics on LinkedIn. So that's the best way.
No, there aren't.
best way to reach me is LinkedIn. I think it's one of the best venues for social type topics like we're talking about today. I always find myself having that aha moment sometimes when I read something or see something and I'm like, I never thought of that before. So the best way to reach me is LinkedIn. And I'll reach back out to you. And it's kind of rewarding. I still have students who I taught who are now in the workforce who have, you know, over the years have reached out to me and connected via LinkedIn. And that is very rewarding when you see your 14-year-old, 15-year-old player that was, you know, full of energy and now they're, you know, an executive someplace. It makes you feel old, but also makes you kind of proud too that they
absolutely kind
of so
yeah.
But that and the best way is LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Christopher. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, as I know you got a lot going on to share that your wisdom and thoughts on the workforce and what's happening. And thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank
you. You're doing a great service to the industry, and keep on, I guess, as they say.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.